This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Welcome to the Hell Has an Exit podcast with host Teddy Tarantino. New episodes every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern. Don't forget to subscribe.
All right. Hey, welcome to Hell Has an Exit. Today I have Gunhee on the show. What's going on?
What's up? Not much. Just kicking it, you know.
So you got 5 years clean now?
Four and a half. A little over four and a half.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I met you the first time I was in California. I think like, not the first time, but the first time I came out here, I think, when I spoke at like Monday Night Madness or something, right?
Yeah. I came up to you and I was like, I just related a lot.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned you got clean young and I was like, bro, me too. And then you said you were from Hollywood. And I was like, dude, I'm going to Hollywood for the convention, you know? And then ended up working at one of your places without even knowing.
That was dope.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you remind me a lot of myself because like when I had, pretty much since I got clean, I was like so excited about recovery. Like, even though like my first year clean, I was super depressed. Like I was in it. Like I was going to all the meetings. I was hyped up. You know, I was getting everyone's phone numbers. I was listening to mad speaker tapes. Like I was in the mix. So I get like that same vibe from you.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, that first year of recovery is definitely crazy. Yeah. Like I always say, like it was definitely one of the best times of my life. Yeah. But I would never want to go
do it
back,
again.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm good on that.
So you got clean at 17 too.
17.
And you're 21 with 4.5 years.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. How does it feel being young and in recovery? Do you feel like you missed out? I'm just gonna ask you questions I want to ask me.
No, you're good. In the beginning, it did feel like I missed out partly because like I didn't know what else was out there. You know what I mean? But like now that I know, and that like I'm becoming an adult, like it's so weird, like growing up. You know what I mean? And like, but now that I know like what's out there, and like, you know, I feel like I'm like on my way to like really realizing a purpose in this life. Like, I'm missing out shit. You know what I mean?
So what about when you meet girls? Like when you're dating, is it hard for you to like explain to people that you don't drink or smoke or anything like that?
You know,
or in the beginning?
In the beginning, it was actually crazy because like right when I got out of rehab, this chick hit me up right away. And you they say like, don't get a relationship. Dude, that's the first thing I did. You know what I mean? But me and her ended up, you know, hugging up for a while. And she was cool with this. She was a normie, you know. She didn't really use it like that. Nothing crazy. But she ended up like cheating on me at the time. And like,
damn,
that was super tough to
go
through.
How'd you catch her cheating?
She just ghosted me one day. And like, and then I found out from one of my friends that she was fucking one of my other friends, right? And I was just like, damn, you know what I mean? I was like, this is fucking... But, you know...
Were they super heartbroken?
Oh, hell yeah, dude. First year, dog, like barely 6 months clean, man. I was going through it, man. But, I mean, I got through it, you know what I mean? But, you know, I never really was one to like... the second girl that I ended up, you know, being with, I met through school, and she smoked a lot of weed and partied a lot. It was less in the beginning, but I mean, it was cool. She actually ended up getting clean, and dating's just kind of a weird thing for me because I was never one to just get into relationships like that. Like it was super like meaningful for me, you know what I mean? And like I cared about it so much, and I thought it was like, you know, I used to like fantasize as a kid, like just like, you know, romanticizing that type of lifestyle, you know what I mean? Thinking like, oh, this relationship is what I need in life, you know? And like ever since then, like
so you're like a super lover boy.
Hell yeah, dude. Yeah, it's and it makes it hard, but I mean, right now I'm not like in the pool at all. I'm not putting myself out there just because of like experiences I've had. Like especially like I got no girls when I was when I was using, right? Or in high school, right? And once I got clean, I started to like realize like this is like, you know, I could pull, you know what I mean? And then like it got real messy all the time with every single, you know what I mean? And like
the girls.
What I'm learning right now and like what I'm like understanding about like why I do these things is like a lot of it comes from like this shame, right? This idea of shame. And to me, like, and this is like very recent for me that like I'm now learning like, oh, these like codependency and those relationships were kind of like the alarm telling me like, oh, there's something you need to work on, you know? And then I'm doing research, right? My sponsor's telling me to do research and find out more information because, you know, it doesn't really talk about that in literature, right? And so I'm doing these research and like, I'm realizing like a lot of it comes from like codependency comes from shame and that shame comes from like traumas and there's a thing called complex trauma, right? Which is it's when a person in authority abuses their power, right? So me as a kid, right, I was in this position in my life where like my parents, which you know, they're cool and everything, but they didn't make me feel safe as a kid growing up. I always felt like I wasn't enough and that I was inadequate and that I didn't deserve shit. And I'm not blaming them, you know, that's just how they raised me up. And like, but like, you know, I always felt like I was in danger, right? And when I always feel like I was in danger and that I wasn't good enough, I would always like have a reaction instead of being able to like process things in life like a normal human being. And so like that's like a lot of the reasons like how I understand my disease works today is because of that. And then like I understand that like that creates this idea of shame in my head. And to me, shame is like a negative core belief of myself, right? So when I'm, you know, in shame a lot, like my the main thing, my priority, not to get hurt and to hide myself. And so I would get into these relationships with that same mentality, man, and like I would like self-sabotage myself. And like when people get close, like that was when I was like, oh shit, like they know who I am, bro. They can't know who I am because I know who I am, and I'm not good enough and all these things. So like I would subconsciously like push them away. I didn't even know that. And like it's crazy because that's like I could look back at all those like romantic relationships, even like platonic or, you know, mutual relationships with some of the guys. Like, dude, when they got too close, that's when like I put my guard up. You know what I mean? And that's when like I started to run. And when I run, I act out. And I lie and I manipulate and I gotta hide, bro, because they can't know who I am. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so, yeah. So I'm basically, I'm not dating anyone right now until like I become more conscious about like these things that I'm doing, man, because like it's all fun and games until somebody dies, man. And like someone died. And I'm not saying that like either. Like it wasn't my fault, right? She had her own issues to deal with, but I definitely don't want to go through something like that again. You know what I mean?
So what was your childhood like? What was growing up like?
So
where are you from?
So I'm from, so I was born in Panorama City, and I lived in the La Brea Tar Pits for a couple of years, but I really established like who I was in Santa Clarita, right? Six Flags out here is where it's mostly known. But dude, family, like I'm first generation Korean American. So my parents are like fresh
from
off
Korea.
Fresh off the boat. You know what I'm saying? And like, you know, we on paper, everything was perfect, right? We had a house, we had food. I was in a good neighbor. Dude, I was in the suburbs, right? We were cool, right? And like, you know, I have a lot of good memories of my childhood, man, but like, you know, and it was like, it was nice, you know, there was no really like big issues like surrounding my
family.
You
got brothers and sisters?
I do. I have a older brother and a older sister.
Okay.
My sister's so I'm the youngest, right? And my sister's a half sister, cause my dad remarried once, and we're real close, not as close as I'd like to be today, but it's all right. She lives in Washington, so she's pretty far. But yeah, so it was mostly me and my brother growing up, and we'd always kick it tight. And, you know, I think my childhood really shifted when my grandfather died, right? Mm. And my grandfather on my mother's side passed away from brain disease, right? And the reason I mention that is because he's the only person in my family who like really understood what unconditional love was to me. And like, man, this guy was like the goodest good I ever known. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And like everyone in my family knew that too, you know. He was a very respected, you know. And you know, when he died, I was like 7, and my mom didn't know how to handle it. And like, that's when really like the family dynamic came out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? She didn't know how to deal with it. My dad sure as hell didn't. You know, he's very traditional, old school, like cultural. Mm-hmm. Like, man, you don't talk about your feelings. You go to school, you work, you just get through it, man. That's just mm-hmm. life, right? And it was like that created this environment where it's like, well, I'm like, that death fucked me up. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And like, I can't process it, and I don't have this space that allows me to. So I started getting in trouble at school. I remember, bro, I was in 4th grade, right? And like, I was a normal kid. Like, people would call me like the class clown, and I like always would like try to make people laugh and mm-hmm. stuff. But one day, like, I brought my homie made a rubber band gun in class, right, out of mm-hmm. paper. Like, you roll up paper real thin and you tape it together, and you get a rubber band, and you just pull the piece of paper back, and it shoots. And I took it back home, and I like souped it up, bro, with like black Gorilla tape and everything. Okay. And like, bro, I brought it to school, and I started shooting people with it. And like, that got me in trouble. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And like, that was my first real taste of like what it was to like make a scene. Mm-hmm. You know? And like, since then, my friend group, we were like, and this is elementary school, right? So like, nothing crazy mm-hmm. happening, but like, we were just like, we would like throw our lunch food across the, you know, cafeteria. Mm-hmm. And like,
what would your dad do when he found out about this stuff?
So my dad wouldn't really do anything because he was never home, right? Mm-hmm. He was always working, so he was never really around too much, right? I don't really have any vivid memories of like him disciplining me like that. Mm-hmm. But my mom would always have to deal with it, right? And it's crazy because like, I can't even like remember what happened, you know what I mean, like what they did. Mm-hmm. All I know is like a lot of times I did, like towards high school, I definitely remember because mm-hmm. like that's when I started getting into drugs, right? And they would like physically beat me and mm-hmm. take my phone and all this, and I would fight back because mm-hmm. like, oh man, like I need my phone. Yeah. You know? And like, he started to show up more because his work got real inconsistent. And yeah, since then, like it was a downhill battle since that thing from 4th grade. And like,
when did the drugs start?
Dude, I mean, so using started pretty late for me, you know, or somewhat late to some mm-hmm. people, but for like my friend group, it started late. Like, I remember in middle school, I started skating, mm-hmm. skateboarding.
You skate?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you good?
I was good, but I broke my ankle too many times. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Can't do, I get too many injuries, mm-hmm. you know. But so we would always skate around town and stuff, and like we started going to the skate park. That's mm-hmm. when I met the real fools, you know, mm-hmm. that skated and smoked hella weed and like had a joint in their mouth while they were skating. And this was like towards the end of my middle school, so like 8th grade. And I remember too, like, I was super against that stuff. Like, bro, I know what's right, like mm-hmm. I'm not gonna use drugs ever, you know.
Straight edge, yeah.
And then summer going into freshman high school, man, like I just I got into the wrong crowd, started skating. I remember I had two friends, right, like my best friends, both of their names were Nico, right? Mm-hmm. And one of them was super goody-goody two shoes. Like I he was the first person I met in a kindergarten when I moved to Santa Clarita. Mm-hmm. And he was, man, he was my best friend. We walked home from school every day. We hang out after school every day. And that too, like, I was never home. I was always at his house. Mm-hmm. And then like, I met this other kid, Nico, right? And he was a bad kid, you could say, mm-hmm. right? And he didn't listen to his mom, and he'd always like get in trouble. And I was like, oh, this kid is cool. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And we started skating together, and we got in. I remember one time he invited me over to his friend's house, and we just, there was a vape there that they had, like, you know, the old ones with the coils yeah. and stuff, and they would put wax on the coils mm-hmm. and hit it like that. And like, I remember being in that scenario, like that was so new to me, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? I didn't even use that time, and they had Xanax there, and they were mm-hmm. like, this fool opened up a mint thing, and it was just full of bars, bro. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what the fuck? He's like, bro, you want to try one? It's just green tea. It was a Hulk, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm good. But then summer happened, and we were just hanging out all the time now, skating. And then, like, I remember the first couple times I smoked weed, like, I didn't get high. And then I went over to his house, and then I got high that first time, and I was like, holy shit. Like, this is it. I found mm-hmm. it. You know what I mean? And it's like, I didn't realize at the time, but like, I was super depressed as a kid. Like, I just, you know, I thought that was normal, mm-hmm. right? Normal life, right? The distortion, right? And hitting that like weed, I remember like I was coming out from like a fight with this chick that I liked, right? Mm-hmm. And it was crazy because she was mad at me because I was smoking weed, mm-hmm. but she really just cared.
Yeah.
You know, she was like, oh, no, I care about you, you know? And I was like, man, get the fuck out of here. I'm finna smoke, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And it's just like, ever since that, like that started. And like, I remember the first week of spring break, right? Like, after I've been only smoking for like a couple months, man, like we go to this, my first party, mm-hmm. right? I'm like 15 at the time, man. And like, boom, first night of the party, her this place, right? This girl's place, like, mom's not there, no parents, Xanax, alcohol, smoking, and that was all spring break, man. And like, I was like, oh shit, like, this is mm-hmm. the life I want to live. And I did that for like what's like 4 years now, mm-hmm. So like, I always say, like, I broke even, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? I didn't use for that long,
yeah,
but it got bad real quick. You know, and it's not even like that it got bad. It's been bad, mm-hmm. but it's like, now it's like noticeably worse, where yeah. it's affecting every area of my life. You know what I mean? And like, when I stopped, right, dude, the last 3 months of my using, man, was just all coke, mm-hmm. man. And like, I was like, it was, I wouldn't even call it depression, man. Mm-hmm. Like, it was dark, man. And I was super skinny, had no friends, barely went outside, didn't go to school. And I've been kicked out of all the schools in the district. And one day, like, after like months of just like being in and out of my room just to get coke and come back and mm-hmm. just snort lines till whenever.
What were your parents doing at this time?
Dude, you know, we had a lot of instances with the school district mm-hmm. where they would like bring me up, and like the police would pull me out of class and like be like, bro. And one time they like, I had all this shit at school that I was gonna sell, like mm-hmm. all this weed, bro. Like, it was so dumb, bro. And they caught me, and like, my mom was a big enabler, mm-hmm. and again, like, my dad was never really home, but they were so scared. They were so scared to like confront me because they yeah. knew some shit was going. Like, dude, I'd throw tantrums, man. Like, one time in my bedroom at my old house, the whole wall was gone because I punched the whole thing out.
Really?
Yeah. And then one time I got mad at my brother, and our rooms were right next mm-hmm. to each other, and I would punch through his wall and like mm-hmm. poke him with a crutch, bro, through the wall because he wouldn't shut up. Mm-hmm. So it was like, I created this space where it was like always hostile, man. And mm-hmm. then they knew that. So they were scared a lot of the times. And like, I would sell drugs throughout my house, like out of my house. And they tell me that they knew. I don't really know if they did. Mm-hmm. They probably did. You yeah. know what I mean? But they just didn't do anything. You wow. know what I mean? And they just let it happen.
What led you to even think about getting clean?
So I remember when it happened, I was in my room, right? And it was that last month, right? This is like, it's like January, February. Mm-hmm. And I'm in my room and I'm just like, I'm listening to music right through my headphones, like some old like knockoff headphones because I had nothing, right? And I was just, I don't know, dude. Honestly, I don't know if I was like just so high or if like God was like calling me because I was so gone. Like, but like I had a therapist at the time and like I just couldn't take it, bro. It was like, it was that, I mean, you know, that lifestyle is just so dark, man. And it's like, not even like the outside things that were crazy. Like I never went to jail. I never, you know, I wasn't no gangster. I was in the suburbs, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like causing havoc. But it was just so dark in my mind and I was alone in my room for weeks on end, right? Months on end, going out, seeing someone like briefly to pick up, man. And like, I was done. You know, I was listening to Roddy Ricch, right? He's my favorite artist mm-hmm. ever, right? Not ever, but like rapper growing ever. Up. Yeah. Okay. And I was listening to one of his songs and, you know, he was talking about like sleeping on floor, like coming up from mm-hmm. the bottom, that type of stuff. And like, I was like, dude, I have dreams and aspirations. If this is what life's going to be, man, like, I need a change. Mm-hmm. And I texted my sponsor, like,
oh, you were going to meetings already?
Not my sponsor, sorry, my therapist. Okay. Right. And I texted him, I was like, I need to go to rehab. Mm-hmm. And he responded the next morning, was like, okay,
let's. Who put you in therapy? With the court system?
So, yeah. So, when you get in trouble at school, they would send you to these juvenile meetings. Yeah. And they're like, the program was called like Action or whatever, and mm-hmm. it was run by the police. Mm-hmm. And so nobody wanted to be there, but we get drug tested every day and whatever. Mm-hmm. But my friend, that kid, Nico, he actually ended up going to this guy, this therapist, because their parents were like, oh, we can't do anything, but we can send him here. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, like, I want to try that. I went to one of his therapy sessions, right? Wow. They were paying together? For it. Yeah. Wow. And we were kicking it. And like this guy, he was an addict, right? And, uh-huh. and he had like 30 something years.
Wow.
Old fart, right? Uh-huh. And like, I really liked what he had to say. Mm-hmm. He was talking to me like,
what would he say?
He was like, oh, do you like mushrooms and stuff? And I was like, oh, hell yeah. And he was talking to me about mushrooms and stuff, you know, knowing that I was using, but mm-hmm. like, he knew obviously like that was the way to reach me. Mm-hmm. And so I liked him and I ended up doing some therapy sessions with him for a few on and off. You know, I wasn't consistent because mm-hmm. I barely had a will to live. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I texted him, and, you know, like the God help me, like, I can't do this, mm-hmm. you know? And like, he responded and it's actually crazy. Cause like, we set up a meeting with my parents to tell them what was going on because they knew I was smoking weed, but they didn't know I was doing coke, mm-hmm. right? And we had to fucking convince my parents to let me go into rehab. Like I was practically begging to let me go because they're so old school. They're like, dude, just stop. Mm-hmm. Like, all you got to do is stop. You know what I mean? Like, and mental illness is a weakness. You know, like all this. They don't understand disease, right? And so. After like an hour session, we convinced them, and then like my what is it, the day I was supposed to go in, right, the day before I was supposed to go in, the place shut down, so they sent me to a different place.
Mm-hmm. And it was for juvenile, I guess.
Yeah, it was 13 to 18. Mm-hmm. And so I was there, and I remember a week before, like I was trying not to use mm-hmm. before, but I couldn't help it. And I was hanging around the same people smoking and stuff. But as soon as I walked in, man, March 11th, right, 2019, I was like,
oh, that's crazy. I forgot our clean days are closed.
March. Yeah. So March 11th, I walked in and I was like, man, I just felt this relief. I was like, you know, and it's crazy because like when I was using, man, I would take mushrooms, right? Mm-hmm. And I would just be like, dude, like when I'd be tripping, right? Mm-hmm. I'd be like, man, I need to get my shit together. I need a change. My life sucks, man. What am I doing? Right. But as soon as the mushrooms would wear off, like that mentality would go away. And like I believe like the first, you know, weed I ever smoked, like the first drug I ever took, man, like I knew I was an addict. It was mm-hmm. no question. I mm-hmm. found it, right? But ever since then, I was always like, I knew I needed help too. Like this was just an escape, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like, I just didn't realize it, but I've been sick since the beginning, right? And yeah, when I walked into treatment, I was like, oh man, I made it. You know, and it's weird because yeah, like I'm walking into treatment at 17. And
what was the treatment center like? Like, was it private?
It was
county? Is it state funded?
It was a nonprofit organization. It was a Phoenix
House. You live there? Yeah, you live there.
Phoenix House? Yeah. For like 63 days or something. Okay. And so it was adolescent. It was like, have you seen Terminator 2?
I've seen Phoenix House. What's Terminator 2?
So in Terminator 2, like there's a scene in the hospital, right?
Uh-huh.
Where he's like walking through all the doors and they're blasting the doors down. That scene, that hospital was the Phoenix House.
Phoenix
House. So it was pretty hilarious.
But you lived there for 60 days?
So I lived there for 60 days.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
And it was super cool. I mean, all the kids were dope. Most of them, right? Uh-huh. It was super. They like took us on so like they took us to Dodger games. They took
what?
Us, yeah, dude. And
is it still around?
No, that place shut down because of COVID.
Oh, but, that's crazy.
Yeah, they did a lot of stuff for us, and that's where I met my sponsor because he would come in and do H&I there, and I've been with him ever since now. But
how did you feel about meetings from the beginning? Were you like sold in the beginning, where you're like, this is where I need to go?
So it's weird because like I never knew they existed.
Yeah,
right. And like I remember they would take us to like
yeah, it's almost like your life before you know about recovery and after you know about recovery, because even if you don't stay clean, it's like when you don't know it even is real, you're a different person.
Yeah. And they would take me to these meetings and I'd be like, I like the things that they say, I can relate. Mm-hmm. Even though like I'm so young and like the stories were crazy, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But like,
what type of speakers do you remember coming in there? Like, whose story do you remember?
I mostly remember my sponsors, you know, because oh my god, he had a gnarly story. Like his story was insane. I don't want to get too, you know, I don't want to expose him too much, but you know, it was just so out of the world. I could never imagine. And I was like, man, if this dude can do it, man, I might have a chance. And he started taking me to meetings out in the San Fernando Valley. And, you know, I mean, first thing I did when I left treatment was I found a meeting. And that first meeting I made in my home group. And like, since then, I never looked back, man. And like, I've been involved and in as much as I can to the best of my ability. And like, it's so crazy to come from like such a dark place to like having a taste of like hope. You know what I mean? And like what that hope felt like. And it was just like I found people that were like me, and not only did I find people like me, but these guys know what they're doing. You know, and I was so desperate, man. I did everything they told me to do, got a commitment, did all this stuff, set up chairs, you know what I'm saying? And
why do you think that you were, you know, willing to stay clean? A lot of those kids that you went to treatment probably didn't.
You know, that's a good question. But I think I did it because like it wasn't that like I've wanted help since the beginning, since before I started using. I was desperate, I just didn't realize it, and my childhood was so empty, right? Even though I had a lot of friends and all that stuff, like I've just felt this void inside me, man. And like when I finally found an opportunity to change my life, man, I don't know if it was God, like if he was just planting in something inside me, or if I was just too whacked out at the time to, but I was just desperate, man. Like desperation really was the saving grace. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they talk about gift of desperation, man. And like that was the key. And the thing was, is like, I was young and I grew up in a household where like dreams and these ideologies of being successful were instilled in me. And like, I still believe that, you know what I mean? Even throughout all my using, I just couldn't realize it. I didn't know what I was doing, right? But So, and the thing was too, is like, it's not like I just wanted to stay clean for one day. I knew it was the long game. I was going to stay clean fucking forever. And there was no other way around it. I knew it. Like, if I wanted to be somebody, I got to stay clean. Mm-hmm. Like, if I wanted to have a chance at, you know, having a successful life. And by the way, I mean, like, success means something so much different to me today than it did back then. But like, if I wanted to have a chance to experience real life, like, I got to do this. I'll tell you one thing too. Like, my entire childhood, like, I felt like a fraud, a shell of a human being. And like, there was nothing real about my life, you know what I mean? And like, that lack of purposeness and fulfillment and real shit that was like going on in everybody else's life, it wasn't happening in mine, man. And like, I was like, man, like at first it was like, man, I really want to just be happy in recovery, man. But like, I felt happiness. It's pretty fleeting, you know what I mean? And it's such a small spectrum of the rest of the emotions that we feel as human beings. And like, I was like, once I like experienced something crazy in recovery, you know, like, and started to feel the magic happen, right? I was like, man, I just want to live a life that's real, not something that I made up in my head or think I'm this, but I'm not, you know what I mean? And, like I said, like, it was all or nothing. So
was it hard for you to like not drink or smoke weed? Like, was that like a big thing for you?
No, it's weird because I lost the desire to use like pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I didn't even notice it. Like, and I was, dude, the first year I used to light my friends' bongs for them because I was like, hey, wow. Yo, like, I missed this. Let me light your bong, right? And like, I remember when I got clean, like, I had a support group of friends waiting for me that were kind of in recovery. Like, they were just not using, right? And like, we would,
so you had friends, you had like positive friends.
I did. I did. Like, thankfully I did, like, good influences in my life. Like, I had, like, it was so crazy. I had the bad influences and I had the good influences, like the two different Nikos in my life. Right. And, I ended up, I'll tell you this one story. I was with my friend in a car. It's like 3 a.m. at night. And this is like a couple months before I got clean. And we're sitting there and we're talking about how we're fucking up our lives and that we need to stop doing drugs and so we can become successful, right? And he ends up stopping, right? But I didn't. And I just got worse and worse. And when I got out of treatment, man, he was waiting for me, man. And I was like, thank God, you know what I mean? So I had people to go to. But I mean, all those young guys that I was with, when I got out of treatment, every single one of them relapsed. You know what I mean? And like,
yeah, it's crazy because like when you get clean, like, and you're so gung-ho about it and you make friends and then like you see them all relapse, it's like discouraging. It's, and like, yeah. Yeah, and it hurts.
Yeah. But the thing was, is like, I didn't know how to leave them. Yeah. And I was stuck. And it's crazy because like I mean, we would still go to parties, right? And we would, you know, we would do some dumb shit, you know, and like the same things I was doing when I was using, right? But I was clean and I didn't have a desire to use. And I was solid, you know, like there have been some times where I was, might have been a little too close, but I was good. I didn't use, you know what I mean? I made it out. And what's crazy is like, after I finished high school, you know, with that year clean, I was supposed to go to a college, a community college in Santa Clarita. And like, you know, that was around the time, like after all my friends started relapsing and all of them started using, and I didn't have anyone else to hang out with besides when I would meet up with my sponsor. And my parents just dropped on me one day, like, yo, we're moving to Orange County. And I was like, what, dude? Like, bro, this was a month before we moved, bro. I had no fucking like heads up, you know? And I was just like, at the time I was working a 7-step, right? And my sponsor would tell me, to pray to God to remove the things that were keeping me from him. And like, I was doing that prayer during that time. And then all of a sudden I move. And I was just like, holy shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's like the magic that like, that shit is unexplained. Like, I don't believe in coincidences. Mm-hmm. Like, I believe in God, right? And like that experience, like just like flicked something. I was like, holy shit, like this is real now. It's yeah. getting real, you know? And like, so I moved out to Orange County and I couldn't hang out with them. They were too far. I didn't have my driver's mm-hmm. license at the time, man. And like, it's like God did for me what I couldn't do for myself, dude.
For sure, yeah.
It was insane to me.
Were you always, how did your belief in God like grow? Like, did you believe in God when you were using?
So I grew up in a Christian household, right? I'd go to church, and church was a place for me when I was younger that I could feel safe. Mm-hmm. And I had some friends going to church that were my age, but I resented God mm-hmm. for a long time, man. And like, I resented a Christian ideal of God, right? Yeah. I was always like, man, like I said, I would say I'm an atheist, right? And I don't mm-hmm. believe in God, right? But as soon as something would go wrong, I'd be blaming God. Oh, okay. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. it's like, man, you say you don't believe in God, but when shit goes wrong, like, look who you're fucking mm-hmm. blaming it on. And then, like throughout my using, like it's kind of weird, but I would like when I would take mushrooms, right? It would open up an idea to something like that could be out there, man. And like, it was a hallucination for sure. But when I started to experience those similar feelings clean, mm-hmm. not on anything, bro. And I would be doing step work and you know, having like, I would feel like I was on shrooms when I'm clean, mm-hmm. doing the things that I need to be doing. And I was like, that's when this is real. You know what I mean? And like that was God. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's not a Christian God. Like it's not any other thing than besides what I know from my experience. And I share this sometimes, but it's like, dude, God is just a word. And that what that word to me means to me is what matters. Right. Mm-hmm. And that concept, right, of God was something completely different from before when I found recovery to after. Right. And, like I started to, not close the door on Christianity, but open the door to everything else mm-hmm. and everything else that it could be. And like I believe in frequencies. I believe in energy. I believe that like principles are law, and like the law of gravity, right? Mm-hmm. When you drop something, it'll fall. Like I believe like when we practice these principles, like honesty and open-mindedness, willingness, something happens when we practice those things, like it, you know what I mean? And like, I believe that I don't have a body, I have a soul, mm-hmm. right? And it's not my body has a soul, it's my soul has a body. Like mm-hmm. I am a spiritual being having a human experience, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you probably heard that a couple of times, but like that's when this idea of like this power greater than me, like started to like really make sense, man. And like, a lot of the times, like I had no other choice but to lean on that idea. You know what I mean? Even though I didn't know what it was, I didn't know what it meant. I don't have a face for it. Mm-hmm. I don't have any labels for it. But like, on the other hand, like that really helped me out more because it opens it to anything, mm-hmm. right? And man, I would start having, like in the beginning, I would have a lot of deja vus.
Yeah.
And my friend at the time, this old timer, he would tell me like, you know what that means? He's like, that means you're in the right place. And I was
really?
Dang. Yeah. And I mean, like, uh-huh. whether it is or isn't, man, it uh-huh. was just like, it made sense to me. It clicked, right? These coincidences that would happen, like, and they only started really happening after I got clean and started working a program, right? So it was like, and I think of spirituality as like a greater understanding of my reality, right? Mm-hmm. An awareness to my reality, right? Because mm-hmm. I was so self-obsessed and like, you know, stuck in my own mind. Like I couldn't comprehend anything that was happening out there. I thought that everything that I thought was reality, but I was delusional, right? I'm tripping,
mm-hmm.
right? But I start to become open to the real world and the things that really happen. And like, not only that, but I experience things that I've never experienced before in my life, which is like weird to me because it's like I'm wondering, like, do normies just like feel like yeah. this, like, oh, like, are they, are these like default settings for them, you know yeah. what I mean? Like, I've never you know what I mean, like, I've uh-huh. never felt like love like that or, yeah. or trust or and like people are like all my old friends, right, they would like, that's normal to them, like having a normal family where they don't fight and hit mm-hmm. each other every night, like that was like weird to me, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? But like now that like I've been exposed to these feelings, like I start to become more in touch with like the human side of me, you know what I mean? And it was weird because like in the first years of recovery, like I always thought like NA was like, or sorry, I always thought recovery. Was like everyone was so good uh-huh. and it's just the goodest, it was a utopia uh-huh. right, and it's like I was so wrong yeah. bro. And
yeah, we're people,
yeah, we're human, right? Mm-hmm. And that was a big part of an issue with me, like accepting myself, like I thought I was so innocent mm-hmm. and so good and pure mm-hmm. right, and like I'm tripping, dog. I'm not, if I'm an addict, I'm probably not innocent or pure mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And like I started to really understand like what this life was, and like I'm talking about being human, right? Like it's so hard for me, and like that goes back to the shame thing I was talking about mm-hmm. like it's so hard for me to like accept me for who I am. That's the, like, even today that's the biggest challenge, you know? Like I can work and I can meet these goals and do these external things, but like treating myself like a human was the hardest thing to do, man. And like it just I started to understand like really the purpose of my life was to learn how to be a human being mm. you know what I mean? Like learn how to live how I'm supposed to live, you know, and like experience these things that life really has to offer, you know what I mean? And it's crazy because like I told you, like I started getting a relationship after the first year, you yeah. know, or in the first year, and like I never experienced that. And I lost my virginity clean, right? I got my driver's license clean.
You lost your virginity?
Yeah,
clean?
Dude.
Never had sex?
No, dude, using? I got no play when I was what? Using, bro. Yeah, dude.
That's crazy.
Even though like I was hanging around that crowd, like uh-huh. we were running parties, bro. Uh-huh. I was selling.
I guess 17 is pretty normal.
Yeah, I mean,
for some people, yeah.
And like we were like around that crowd, but I was just so like scared, bro. I was yeah. a scared kid, man. I didn't mm-hmm. want no one to get close to me. Like wow. just do drugs with me. I'm good. Yeah. You know? And yeah, I've had a lot of firsts in NA. You know, or, sorry, I had a lot of firsts in recovery, man. Yeah. And like and it's just like those are all the things that. When you say, like, did you feel like you ever missed out? Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't.
Yeah.
I'm doing them. You know what I mean? And it's crazy.
Yeah, it's almost like the opposite.
Yeah, dude. Like, yeah. It is the complete opposite, actually. Like, mm-hmm. like, dude, I don't... Man, like, I used to see people at parties, like, oh, man, you should be at work. You should yeah. be out. You know what I mean? And, like, criticizing these people. Mm-hmm. And, like, they're people. You know what I mean? They can do what they want to do. But... I always just saw, like, I don't want to end up like that. Like, I have dreams. I have aspirations. I'm a driven person. I'm motivated, right? Most of the times, right? Mm-hmm. And I want to be somebody.
Yeah.
And, like, I had no chance of doing that, mm-hmm. like, if I wasn't clean.
Are you a sponsor? You sponsor people?
Dude, so I don't.
You don't?
No, I've had sponsors before.
But people ask you?
People have asked me, and you uh-huh. know, I do my best, but I don't know what it is, dog, you know?
But you would. You just don't have anyone that's stuck around?
Yeah, I definitely would, you know? Yeah. That's something that I haven't been able to fully experience, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? But and I used to beat myself up about that, too.
Really?
I was like, man, like... And like, I'm not trying to like toot my own horn, but like I would share at these meetings and people would come up to me and be like, bro, that's the best share I've ever heard. I'm like, uh-huh. what are you talking about, dude? Like, you know, I'm just a kid. Right. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'd be like, man, if I'm like doing so good, but like, why don't people want me to sponsor them, bro? And it's probably 'cause I'm so young and that, I mean,
well, people have asked you said you sponsored a couple of people.
Yeah. A couple people, but like, mm-hmm. you know, it nothing really stuck or like, you know, I don't discredit any of those people that I had a relationship mm-hmm. with. Like I've definitely learned a lot from the people that have stuck around. But
how
like,
important has service been for you?
As far as recently, it's very important.
Yeah.
Like, I do a lot of H&I now, mm-hmm. like, cause that's how I heard it. You know what I mean? I heard the message through people coming into rehabs, mm-hmm. telling us about a program that, you know what I'm saying? And, so I do a lot of service, as far as within a program, right? I try to do my best, like, outside of things in the program, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like,
what do you do for fun these days?
Fun is like, you know, I mean, I have friends, so mm-hmm. I'll hang out with them and go out and stuff, but like, I find that I have most fun, like I go to the gym a lot, mm-hmm. right? And I started taking boxing more seriously, right?
You're boxing?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, a little bit right here. And I started like when I got clean, uh-huh. working out and all those things. And man, I really like to cook. Like I can whip it up. Yeah. I make a mean steak, man. Really? Yeah. Yeah. I love cooking, man. Like I like music, right? Mm-hmm. I was telling you earlier, I play guitar and I produce, right? I have some songs out with some people that are, you know, they're mm-hmm. pretty big in LA, you know what I mean? So it's cool, man. Uh-huh. And like, I do have a lot of hobbies, like for trying to have fun, but like these days, man, like just being able to like work out, have a schedule mm-hmm. and like keep it chill has been like the most meaningful for me. Yeah,
for sure.
But fun is a weird thing for me, you mm-hmm. know?
I don't know. Well, yeah, I appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Appreciate you having me.
Thank you so much for doing this. Yeah. And well, let's have a fun convention.
Hell yeah, dude. Yeah. I'm excited. Yeah.
All right, man. Thank you, bro.